Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahana Vyam Karavavahai Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Now we come back to the reality our situation,
where we are.
A philosophical elaboration upon the pratigya. Okay. The above quotations of Srila Prabhupada are from his purport to the invocation of Canto 2, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The holy name Vasudeva is most significant here, both in terms of this particular chapter and the entire second canto. Chapter 1, quote, describes the glories of chanting, and it hints at the process by which the neophyte devotees may perform meditation on the universal form of the Lord. It hints at that will come up more as the canto develops. Right, so, in other words, it's about the chanting, but then we have all these other things that distract us other than the chanting. Because if you chant 16 rounds, we take it as the average, 2 hours to chant one's rounds, so that leaves 22 hours of the day. Okay, so that's where then the neophyte can, you know, connect all these other aspects to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So. Yes.
You say that that mixed devotion is connected to universal form?
Yes, some aspect. Yeah, you could discuss it like that, because otherwise, what does it mixed means? There's an element of karma and jnana, so that we're dealing through the external forms.
Produces the person must be of relationship, whatever is there.
That's what we're starting with. You know what I'm saying? We're working from, we have our material relationships. And they're quite important. You know, people are willing to, you know, start wars. You know, Troy was war, you know, such a war. You know, so many things are going on about these things. So, now it's a matter of being aware that what you're looking for in that relationship is coming from Krishna. Right? So then we're starting to make that connection. Then it works nice. Does that make sense? So then it's just a matter of those become purified, and then the other aspects work more smoothly, more quickly, without getting in the way. Does that make sense?
Don't see the connection to the universal form.
Okay, universal form here. Let's say just, you know, give a generic context. Okay, just a random, how you say, example. Right? Okay, let us say we have a grihastha, okay? And the grihastha has children, and they're attached to their children. Okay? Very random, yes. So, then the question is, but who are you actually attached to? I mean, is it the body that one's attached to? Because that's dead matter.
Your soul.
But the soul is liberated and beyond, and it's not actually that conditioning.
To get the tattva energy.
The tattva energy is what's holding the soul and that body together, but that's not necessarily the attractive position.
Right? In other words, what's attracted by the condition. But where does the power of that condition, why does, you know, just say for example, why does the son act as a son? Or the daughter as a daughter? Where does that potency come from? Does that make sense? Right? So, in other words, you're getting that they act in that way. You know, like, you know, an infant always acts basically the same way. There's a small, you know, variety. There's the uniqueness of each baby. But there's a general thing that they do. You know? So where does that come from? Where does that potency of infant come from, or toddler, or, you know, this small child, or as they grow up, or the teenage, or young adults, or where is that coming from? Yes. So that is the universal form. Because the universal form means all the unlimited, whatever elements of a face you could have, that's a, whatever elements of an arm, a leg, an ear, a nose, those are all there. So the particular living entity, by their karma, then has, by the Lord's, you know, arrangement, collected those aspects around themselves. And then that's what's called, that in the material world, it's called the self. Right? But actually what you're dealing with is the universal form. Understand? So that's why it said the neophyte can see it that way. But that's only where attachment is strong, so you can't connect like that. But it's you see, we're devotees and we do things together as devotees. That aspect is not necessary. It's just that when a particular aspect of the attachment takes precedence over devotion, then this is how to connect it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. So that's what we're dealing with. So that both has the element of Garbhodakshay and Kirodakshay. Garbhodakshay means he's Prajumna, so that's why we're attracted. But how we're supposed to deal with that aspect of the Lord that we're attracted to, that's Paramatma. Right? But then Krishna as a person, even though that's all him, he's still beyond that as a person. That's Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So that's unique specialness that gopis see a tumultuary, they remember Krishna as a person. Right? But they don't have to intellectually go through it all. It's just, you know, tumultuary is black, Krishna is black, so, you know. It's just, yes, yeah, it's already connected. And then they're just thinking of the person. Well, here is that, well, you know, we may think of that and then the attachment, and, you know, we might think about those things generally when they're not around, but, you know, like that and reflecting and like that. But then do we ever get to the point where we forget them and just go off on, you know, with the Lord? That's the part that we still need to work on. So we get up to that part, Brahman Paramatma platform, but to go beyond it into the Bhagavan platform. You know, when we talk about the holy name, the deities, the Bhagavatam, you know, the general concept, association of Vaishnavas, the Dham, then we do that very easily because it's direct. So it's in the indirect that is those aspects of value of our conditioning. That's generally where there's more problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if one's absorbed in the direct activities very nicely, then it purifies all the others. But wherever there's that something that's distracting, then this is a process you can use. You can just focus more on the direct. And that, because that's ultimately what you want to do anyway. Does that make sense? In other words, if you're always remembering Krishna, you don't have to worry about forgetting him. But if you're always remembering but forgetting in one area, then you use that method of how to not forget. And so then the point of not forgetting is to remember. Does that work? Yeah.
You mentioned the Kirodakshaya Vishnu aspect, the universal form, in the sense of how we're meant to deal.
Yes.
It sounds like Abhideya or Vastadeva.
No, because what's the goal? What's the goal of dealing and everything? Because what we're meaning is Paramatma deals with he supervises or oversees what you do, you know, whether you're authorized to do or not do those things. Right? So Prabhupada's mentioned, because you have both places where it's mentioned Garbhadaksha Vishnu is the universal form, but also Kiradaksha Vishnu is the universal form. At the same time, as one can also look at, well, which one is it? One can say, but seeing the Kiradaksha Vishnu is an expansion of Garbhadaksha Vishnu, then it's not a problem that they both are, seeing that Garbhadaksha is an expansion of, I mean, Kiradaksha is an expansion of Garbhadaksha. So it's not really a problem. But it's two different aspects. So there's the Pajumna, in other words, there's the attraction to, and then there's the need. So the need gives rise to action. The attraction doesn't necessarily give rise to action. The need does. So therefore, if you're going to do something with... Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. Because from when Aniruddha is there, then there'll be activity. So when the activity is performed, that's Vasudeva. Now the rules upon which you're basing it, what you're dealing with, that's Sankarshan. Right? But your attraction to work in that is Pajumna. Your need to work in, with that or attain that is Aniruddha. So then you have to combine all three of those together to perform an activity. So the Abhideya means you have to already have the others. Right? Yes. Because what's happening is your sambandha includes the knowledge of all the areas. Right? But that has to be done, so that's Sankarshan. Sankarshan means you know what are all the different areas. But you have to apply that with the right mood. That's Prajumna. Right? And with that desire for the result. You don't have the result. Right? That then you can act. Because right? Before that it's basically it's feelings. But then when you actually act, you know, then that's Abhideya. Discussing, contemplating the Abhideya, that can be, you know, aspects of Sankarshan.
Right? Willing to do it.
Yes. But then when one does it, that's Abhideya. Then from doing it, you'll get the result. You'll get the benefit. This is what he's got, a tennis match. You know, to sit there. No, it's fine. I'm just saying, it's fine. But he did the netball, right?
No, we are counting.
Yes. Aniruddha. Part of Sambandha. Means he's the mood of Sambandha. In other words, there's the knowledge of Sambandha, then there's the attitude in which you deal with that. So presumed is the inspiration. In like nowadays, what is this new thing? What do you call it? Inspired education. What is it? Creative. Creative. And did you mention inspired? But just creative education. Innovative. Okay. Innovative education. So they're talking about the Prajumna element, but then what's the goal of it? What will be the purpose of it? How will you get there? But the thing is that is the innovative means you have a proper attitude. But that means then you have to know the field well enough that you can see innovation. You can't be innovated in an area you don't know anything. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say of musicians, right? Now, you're Indian classical musicians, and let's say you're jazz musicians. They're probably the most technically qualified of musicians. They learn by rote, over and over and over again by practice, their areas. Then knowing it so well, then they can be innovative. Right? That's the reality.
Yes.
Right? But if you, that means if one remembers back to one's days in the junior high and high school, and secondary, you know, your secondary educational program, you have your, you know, the, some variety of arts teacher, you know, some variety of literary arts or something like that. They try to invoke this spontaneous, innovative thought,
yes,
giving you zero. Zero is being, we're being nice here, zero foundation with which to work on how to make decisions and why you would do this and then to combine them and everything. And they think by somehow or another, I think it's magic, if you put the chairs in a circle, somehow or another innovation happens. And then they, you know, are sitting there trying to get, you know, what do you think, and this, and trying to go, and basically getting nothing much out of it, you know. But, you know, I guess it's better than the lunch was or something. I don't know. You know, cafeteria lunches have, you know, something to be desired. So there's this concept that you will generate something from nothing. It's kind of like the Big Bang, right? You have nothing, and then just suddenly all this will happen, and it'll just like that. But what they forget is who triggered the bang, you know. That's the point. Where did that potency come from? How does it work? How does it do? So, is that, so there must be the thing is, unless that foundation is there in Sankarshan, then how will you become inspired? Does that make sense? The more you know, the more you can become inspired.
There was this idea that creativity has to do with actually destruction. You have to break down things that are working in order to innovate or be creative.
Sankarshan is more about the rules.
Yeah.
So though, that what doesn't follow the rules, that will be broken down. But you're also analyzing from that side, breaking down things like that. But by doing that, then you know how they work, but you also then, our interest in doing that is then there is no, it breaks down the attraction to the material energy. Right? In other words, if you break it down that, okay, here's a living entity, we have an attraction for them on the material platform, but it's a body of, you know, mucus, bile, and air that's been empowered by the Lord to function a certain way, and so that all whatever they do is by the modes of nature. It starts to become less interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's the reality. So then, knowing that, we can be inspired that therefore I'm working, interacting, devotee to devotee, or devotee to whoever it is, based on the platform of the soul. So it has to be the Krishna's the center. So then we become inspired in that. Right? Does that make sense? But the materialist that hearing the breakdowns, they don't get into these means, they may get interested in liberation. Okay, if that's all it is, then I don't want any of this, liberation. Or the materialist that breaks it down in that, okay, this particular, you know, species, they like this or they like that. Or if you deal like this, they respond this way or that way, that way. Then you think, okay, now I know something. So now I'm inspired, I'd like to be involved.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's, there was, the process is the same, it's just what you want to get out of it. So you can get karma out of it, jnana out of it, or bhakti out of it. But the process is the same. If you want to be successful in any of these areas, you have to be able to break it down like that. Right? In other words, the business, just like let's say, the businessman cannot be applying his attachment to the results when he's operating the business deal.
Yes.
As soon as
yes.
the attachment comes yes. up, that's when it'll go wrong, because the other person senses that
yes,
and then, you know, would rather be work with someone else. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. On the glories of chanting Sri Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra, text 133, as commented upon by Acharya Baladeva Vibhushan, states that chanting the Lord's many holy names purifies a devotee, easily establishing him in Vasudeva Sattva. Right, so Vasudeva Sattva will be situated in Vasudeva, that transcendental beyond the modes. Right? So that's pure goodness. The devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who perform the pious activities of chanting these 1,000 holy names of the Lord, become free from anger, envy, greed, and all wicked thoughts within the mind. Right? Footnote 2.
Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.2.4 describes the position of those afflicted by anger, envy, greed, and wicked thoughts. Right, so they're a special, it's a package. Yes, it goes together, these packages. That's the thing, the Vedas point out. We just take them as that they're just like examples. No, they're packages. They go together, right? Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society. O Emperor, the lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. Persons devoid of atma-tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. Right? Everybody around you is having some problems, but you don't think it's going to happen to you.
Yes.
Right? Mm. You know, like that. Yeah. Yeah. In the next verse, Sri Sukadev Goswami prescribes a remedy for gaining freedom from the anarthas that plague such envious people. The remedy is the same one that have been prescribed in the Sri Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. Almost the same verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.14. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of all of the devotees. Right? So Savior from miseries, then you have that sthana, but then you have that going further than the protector of the devotees, then you have that the nourishment. Right?
Potion.
Okay. Okay, so then top of 5. Concerning meditation upon the universal form, the next text of Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra states, the entire expanse of outer space, along with the sun, moon, stars, and planets, the ether, the directions, the earth, planet, and the great oceans are all maintained by the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vasudeva. Right? So for the devotees, Vasudeva Sattva means being absorbed in Vasudeva. Right? For the non-devotees, then they're situated in Vasudeva. They're in the same transcendental position beyond the modes. Right? So therefore, in the Mahatattva, right, the living entity is there in the primary creation. They're in Vasudeva Sattva. Right? But then, because they're not absorbed in the personality of Godhead, they'll fall from that position into the material world and take up their positions according to their previous desires. But yes.
And the question comes, in Vasudeva Sattva, then what is the absorption? What is it?
Just basically the Brahman, the transcendence element. There's desire to be the controller and enjoyer, but it's not specific yet. So that weakness of heart is there. That's why they will come into the material world. But for the devotees, when they get to that Vasudeva Sattva, they continue. You know, it's just like for the devotee, when he's on the liberated platform, we call it Brahma Bhuta.
Right.
But for the non-devotee, we call it Mukti. Right, because it's that position from which they'll come back. For the devotee, it's from that position from which they'll move forward.
So it's actually very different.
It's
all
very
the same situation.
The situation's same, but the mentality is different. That's why one goes one direction, one goes the other. They're actually opposite, though the situation is the same.
Whereas the non-devotee in that situation would taste the happiness of Brahman?
Yes. So you have all the different states. Within the material world, you have karma, Vasudeva Sattva, you have jnana, and in when you're absorbed in the Lord during the sleeping, then you have the nirvana, you know, nothingness. So all these aspects are always tasted by the living entity. They never get beyond that, though, unless they take up devotional service. Yes.
The reason will be the political consciousness of Chitta?
Yes, yes. The political consciousness.
Political.
Yeah, I guess it's also political. Yes, put it together. So, So then if that could be by using that logic, right, you know, A equals B, B equals C, yes. Or A is C, so then you could say polluted correctness.
Yes. Yes, that's going to catch on.
Polluted correctness.
Yes. I would start using it immediately.
Okay.
That's a politically correct way of saying incorrect.
Yeah. So according to polluted correctness. Yeah, so that means they have that mentality of I'm the controller and enjoyer. So that's the basis for being within the material consciousness. So they'll function within Mahatattva, meaning the overall, you know, the meaning the material world. And then, but specifically we're talking here is then in when they're in the Mahatattva, when they're in the glance, then it's that more dynamic, because then they're aware. While when they're just in the Mahatattva, the overall, then they're absorbed in the Lord, so they're unaware, so they're like they're asleep.
So the same thing will bring back the so-called liberated process from Brahman.
Yes, that's why they never get beyond. That's why Madhvacharya mentions, until you establish a relationship with the Lord, you're not actually liberated. It means you'll come to that liberated situation, but you can't stay there. You know, it's just like, how you say, you know, let's say you're driving down the street and you see this big monster mansion, you know, it's up for sale and it's open house. So you, just for interest, you stop, go in, walk around, you know. So, you know, you're there in that situation. You can appreciate the situation, but you can't stay there. Right? I mean, that's the thing. You need one of those, like, little, how do you say this? You know, Halliburton, you know, briefcases full of, you know, those little Benjamin Franklin pieces of paper. Then you can have the house. Right? Unless you've attained the person who is connected with the house, then you can't stay there. Okay. So that's how we can so strongly say they won't get liberated. Because of that, we know they have that, they won't get liberated. So the Maya bodies, definitely not. The Brahma bodies, they'll get to that liberated, but unless they come in contact with devotional service, at some point they'll come back. Like that. Okay, so we'll head here.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Janatai Gaura Premanandini ki